Okay, great run, Bonds, this week. First, a shout-out to Ben C. Race, who asked for a shout-out on While You Tow, wherever these things go.
I'd like to give a shout-out to R.E. Klein as well.
Don't listen to him. Okay, what is the most popular pasuk in the Torah? No looking. Okay, let me change my mind. What is the pasuk that appears the most in the Torah? It appears for the first time in the Torah in this week's parsha. And as long as, you know how many times it appears? Neither do I, but it's more than 70. And so for a pasuk that appears more than 70 times, we might as well know what it means. Okay, what does it mean? Ami, what does it mean? No, don't peek. What is it? When you see, go ahead, get it wrong. Lamar.
Saying or to say.
Okay, excellent. Here we go. By the Hashem of Moshe Lamar. In this case, Bo Daber Al Paro Melch Mitzrayim Yishalach Es Bnei Yisrael Me'atzo. Says the Ramban. By the Hashem of Moshe Lamar. Amru Amefarshim. And this is, I think, everybody wall to wall. Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, the Radak. Ki milat lemor bechol haTorah lemor liYisrael. By the Hashem Moshe lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe lemor to tell Bnei Yisrael. You need the sheet anyway. Okay, here we go. Vatam sheyomar Hashem leMoshe emor liYisrael divarai ele. That God said, tell Bnei Yisrael these words. Ubikan, and in this case, obviously, it's not Bnei Yisrael, it's Lemor al Paro. Okay? That is the accepted pshat, and I think that's what most of us thought our whole lives, that Lemor means, I guess I'm Moshe, Lemor, to tell over what I'm about to tell you to some other people. Interestingly, it's the first time in the Torah, it's to Paro, but generally it's to Bnei Yisrael. Now, V'hakatuv she'amar Emesh Omar Eli Lemor. Anybody know where that puzzle comes from? Please?
Lavan.
Huh?
Lavan.
What's the context?
Lavan telling him his dream to Yaakov.
Lavan says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me last night. And he said it Lemor. So what does that mean? Says the Ramban. Einenu ba'al nachon b'peyru shazeh. It couldn't possibly mean that God appeared to Lavan and told Lavan, hey, make sure to tell Yaakov tomorrow that I told you not to hurt him. That's not pshat. V'chein b'mekamot rabok she'yichpol. He says, look at all the other places when it says, v'yidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amar talim. It couldn't mean tell them when the next pasuk says explicitly tell them. V'chein v'yom Hashem al Moshe Lemor, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amar talim. V'yomru al kaladat b'nei Yisrael Lemor. Right? All of b'nei Yisrael said to Moshe, v'lu gavanu b'dva achenu. There was no nevuah there. They were just saying it. It doesn't mean that. Ramban says there's many examples where it doesn't work. By the way, when Ramban says it means he had 25 other examples on his fingertips. He just didn't want to show off. But he could have done it. This is even in this week's parasha. It does not mean to tell to others. What does it mean? Here's a great idea. It says the Ramban, V'hanachon be'enai, ki milat lemor, lehorot al birur ha'inyan b'chal makom. The word lemor comes to tell you that what was told explicitly without any doubt. You'll see what he means. V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe ba'amira gemura. An explicit communication, lo amira misupeket, v'lo beremez davar. It wasn't a prophetic vision. It wasn't a hint. You know, sometimes you have like Nevi'im got visions, and they could be interpreted different ways. The Ramban says when the word lemor is used in the Torah, it means it was given word for word. There was no doubt about it. The communication was direct. Ulekach, he says, yatmid ze b'chol haTorah. That's why this phrase appears so many times in the Torah, and I think what the Ramban means is not so much in Nach. Ki nevuat Moshe peh el peh yidaber bo v'lo b'chidot. Because that's how God communicated with Moshe. Now, what about all the other examples? So he says, third line in the second paragraph, v'lavan amar kein liyakov emesh amar Hashem elai lemor. When God came to Lavan, and Lavan said, God told me explicitly last night, don't hurt you, he says, ba'amira brura shelo azik lachem. It was a direct communication making it clear that I can't touch you. Why? Ki lulei kein, were it not for the fact that it was a direct communication, Hayiti Osei Imachem Ra. It's a great shot in the pasuk. Love one says, emesh amar elai lemor, right? Don't touch them. Lavan's basically saying, according to the Ramban, if I got a vision from God that said, don't touch Yaakov, I would have interpreted it a different way. If I had a dream that a bad thing would happen to me about Yaakov, I would have ignored it because I want to kill him. But emesh amar shem elai lemor, it was such a clear communication, it was no doubt that God was warning me. It's a great shot. V'chein v'yomru b'nei Yisrael al Moshe le'mor. When b'nei Yisrael whined to Moshe Rabbeinu, they did it directly, without any hesitation. Shehayu omrim lahem kein b'feirush v'tzalakim lahem b'gilui panim. They were doing it, like, really disrespectfully. Ki hamakom l'beirur ha'inyan pa'amukdam pa'amukhah. This is just a sort of like a grammatical point, that sometimes the modifier comes before, sometimes it comes after. In like the phrase, omrim emor limna atzai, The verb is used twice in a row to emphasize the point. But again, the Ramban says, and it's a good Ramban to remember, whenever it says lemor in the Torah, lemor means in a direct, unambiguous communication. It does not mean to pass along to somebody else. Okay? And all of us know this, by the way. Last night I had a dream that I shoplifted. Okay? And I was an idiot because I shoplifted and then somehow I asked them to deliver it. And that's how they caught me. So I don't know what that nevuah meant for me last night. I could turn it into different things. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not in some kind of vague vision. It's in a direct communication, and that's how he knows how to pass on exactly what the message is. Okay?
It never says that he's about Hashem and more about Adam Nevi'im.
It does. Ben Adam. Right. You know it does. So I guess I'm not saying Yeshayahu never got a direct... Right? According to this Ramban, when it says Lamor, it means Yeshayahu got a direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just a prophetic vision. Right? I can't deny the fact that it does say Lamor in Nach. But it's overwhelming in Chamisha, well, actually not. It's overwhelming in 80, you know, in starting from in Arba Chum Sheitot. Although, frankly, no, probably, but it rarely appears in Devarim. It's probably heavy in Vayikra, right? And Shmo. So you could somebody look. You have a body line. You could do the work. You'll figure it out. Okay. Next. Vayidaber Moshe lifnei Hashem lemor, hein bnei Yisrael lo shama'u elai ve'eich yishma'ini paro va'ani aral tzvasayim. I think what bothers the Ramban and the question we all have to ask is this like borderline? Is he whining, or does he think it's his fault? Right, Rashi on this pasuk says what? Says this is one of the 10 kal v'chomers in the Torah. That if Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me, so certainly Paro's not going to listen to me. And that's a great pshat. I don't think the Ramban disagrees with it. But the question is, what's the tone of Moshe's statement here? So he says, Hein Bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai, ki lo asita devarai nishma'im lahem, ve'eich yishma'i paro. The Ramban says, he's basically Moshe's kind of complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You did not make my words acceptable to Klal Yisrael, and if you didn't make Klal Yisrael accept my words, then certainly Paro won't accept my words. Va'od, second unrelated statement from Moshe is ki ani aral sfatayim ve'eini hagun she'adaber lifnei melech gadol. First pshat in the Ramban is, these are two almost unrelated statements. Hey b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai, is Moshe saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did not do your part in making b'nei Yisrael believe me. Oh, and by the way, I have a lisp, or I have some speech impediment, and it's disrespectful, Paro's not going to listen to me. That's the first pshat. Middle of the second line, says the Ramban, v'yitachein lefaresh, but it's also possible to see this differently. Shechashav Moshe, ulai ki mipchitato lo shama'u elav ki hu aral sfatayim. That this is Moshe the Anav, speaking not in an accusatory way, but with a lack of self-confidence. Moshe, being humble, says, I wasn't good enough to convince Bnei Yisrael. God, it was nothing wrong with you. I didn't give the right speech. Had I given a more rousing speech, they would have all been in. But I failed you. And if I failed you, v'lo yachin ledaber al libam dvarim tovim dvarim nichumim, afki yedaber leparo. here he's kind of supporting Rashi's idea, but he's saying, it's my fault. If I wasn't good enough to convince Bnei Yisrael, right, if I'm not a good orator to convince Bnei Yisrael, how could you expect me to convince Paro? It's a longer Ramban, I only brought a piece of it, but I think this is what we need to do. When Moshe speaks in these parshios, I think the Ramban is getting inside his head and asking, is he speaking in an angry tone? Does he think it's God's fault? Does he think there's something wrong with the plan? Or is he really speaking in the humble way we would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to speak and say, listen, I failed you, and if I failed you with Bnei Yisrael, I certainly will fail you with Paro, and I'm not the right guy. Okay, last one. We'll do this quickly, but this is like a bread and butter Ramban that reveals the Ramban's philosophic thinking in a number of places in the Torah. And everybody who didn't ask this question of themselves should ask themselves this question. Va'ani akshet lev paro v'hir beitiat ototai v'et moftai v'eretz Mitzrayim. What's the question?
Free will.
Free will, right? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Paro and brings Eser Makos and splits the sea and drowns the Egyptians if Paro never had free will? The pasuk is very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe before the Eser Makos, Va'ani akshe et leif paro, I will harden Paro's heart, pshuto kimashmo, I will relieve Paro of his free will. Why is it so difficult for us to accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends his free will? What's contingent on Bechira Chavshis? Schar va'onesh. The system only works. Schar va'onesh only works if there's Bechira Chavshis, and there's a number of Rambans, and we'll see them later on, but this is, I think, the first one in the Chumash that we're seeing where the Ramban is very bothered by this. How could it be? Here it goes. These are important for understanding the Psukim, and they're more important for understanding philosophy. Says the Ramban. First he quotes the Medrash. Amru b'medrash rabbah. Gilalo shuatid lechazek et libo ba'avur la'asot bo hadin. God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that in the future, I think this is what it means, in the future he would suspend Paro's free will in order to punish him. Why? Tachat sheha'evidam ba'avodah kasha. Because Paro sinned, he'd enslaved the Jewish people for all these years in back-breaking labor, he deserved to be punished. Va'od, sham, also in the Medrash, ki ani hichbadeti et libo, am Rab Yochanan, mikan pitchon peleminim lomar, lo haita mimenu shi'aset shuva. Rab Yochanan says, if you read this pasuk, it allows heretics to say that Paro didn't have the chance to do tshuva. Now, the answer is, if we're honest with ourselves, yeah, it kind of sounds that way. So what does he say? He says, fourth line, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Yisatein pihem shel minim. The mouths of heretics should be sealed up. Why? Ela im leleitzim hu yalitz. For scoffers, he scoffs. What does that mean? Matrebo pam rishona ushnia ushlishit ve'ino chozerbo. God warns you once, twice, three times, and you don't do tshuva. Noel bo delet minat tshuva. So he closes the door on tshuva. Kidei lifra mimenu mashechata. In order to punish him. Right? So the Medrash says, yeah, God gives you a bunch of chances. If you don't take the chances, then he can punish you. And he can close off your free will. Says the Medrash, third line from the end of the first paragraph, Kach paro harasha. Kevan sheshagar HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzlo chamesh pe'amim v'lo ishkiach al divarav. God sent him five warnings and it didn't work. What were the five warnings? The Ramban will explain, but we know already. Anybody?
For everything.
There were 10 makos. The first five, no, the first five say v'yechezak leiv paro or something along those lines, that God didn't do it. Paro did it to himself. I know this because the Ramban's going to explain it in a second. You hardened your heart. Now I'm really going to sock it to you. Now, that's the Medrash. It's all buried in this Medrash, but here's what the Ramban does with it. Second paragraph. Vihine. Pershu b'she'ela ashe yish'alu hakol. I've mentioned this before, but I can't resist. When the Ramban says, She'ela ashe yish'alu hakol, I imagine that in shul, everybody asks the Ramban this question. Like, it just bothers Jews. He doesn't mean all the Rishonim. He means regular Jews read this pasuk and go, what's up with that? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspend Paro's free will? And he says, V'yesh bo shnei ta'amim u'shnehem emet. Here it comes. Ramban says there are two approaches, and they're both true. We've seen this many times in the Ramban. He believes in multiple truths. He believes there's different layers. And here we're going to see it clearly. Ha'echad, the first explanation. Ki paro birisho asher asa li Yisrael ra'ot gidolot chinam. Paro did all these evil things to us for no reason. Chinam means Paro did it because he hated the Jews. Nitchayev limnoa mimenu darkei tshuva. Paro was so bad that his punishment was to remove from him the possibility of repentance. Kasher ba'u b'zeh psukim rabim batra biktuvim. Ulefi ma'asav harishonim nidon. Very, very important to understand this. Let me make something up. Let's assume that the scale of righteous to evil goes from 0 to 100. The Ramban believes that there's a line, let's say if you get to 90, that's like only where like the most evil people live. You get to 95 on the scale of evil, you cross a line, part of your punishment is you can no longer do tshuva. You could have done tshuva the whole time you're getting there, but once you pass this line, that's it. No more tshuva. Who's offended by this approach? Why? Because we were brought up to believe that you can always do tshuva. So let's put it in contemporary terms. I assume that you would be disappointed if after the Holocaust, right before he died, you know, Hitler did tshuva. And one day you die, you meet him in Olam Haba. Right? That's more offensive. I think that's what the Ramban is saying. There is an evil that is so evil. Now, by the way, you're not born that way. You have to earn it. But he says at some point you're so evil that, yes, flat out, God takes away your Bechira Chavshis. The only thing, now what does he do with Schar Va'onesh? So Raman very subtly answered that question. Ulefi ma'asav harishonim nidon. What's he saying? From the moment at which you pass that level and God suspends your Bechira Chavshis, he doesn't punish you anymore. Right? So if Paro was evil for the first five makos and then God took away his Bechira Chavshis, he's not punished for the last five. He's only punished for the first five. Because obviously you can't punish somebody without Bechira Chavshis. We clear? Okay? We're almost done. Fourth line. V'atam ha'sheni. What's the second explanation? Ki hayu chatzi ha'makot alav b'pisho. This is the more famous one. Because half of the makos he did on his own. Ki lo ne'amad bohem rak v'yechezak lev paro. Or vayach paid paro at libo. He did it to himself. Hine lo ratza lishalcham lichvod Hashem. He didn't want to send them because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to. Aval ka'asher gavru ha'makot alav v'nila lisbol otam. When the makos got to be too much, rach libo v'hayon nimlach lishalcham mikolet ha'makot. Paro, let's say, was ready to give up after Barad, after Arbe, after Choshech. Not because he believed in God, but because he wanted the Makos to go away. Lo laso ritzon baro. Va'az hiksha Hashem et rucho v'imetzet livavo l'man saper shimo. Then God, in fact, took away his bechir chav, just kinyan shekatov, v'itgadalti v'itkadashti v'no'adati le'ine goyim rabim. God can do it at some point. So again, the two answers, the most important thing here, the two answers. One is that in fact we've all been misled and there is an evil, the punishment for which is suspension of free will. Now, God also suspends Schar Va'onesh in that circumstance, and presumably it doesn't happen that often. The Ramban has other examples where it does happen. If you just look at the bottom of the page, it's a pasuk everybody knows, no one focuses on. The Ramban mentions this. Lo ava Sichon melech cheshbon havirenu bo, God, Sichon didn't let us go. The Ramban says it also in Mor Nevuchim. You see clearly in the Torah that God can suspend your free will. The question is in response to what? And the Ramban will say in response to severe evil of the type, frankly, that we don't see that often. Okay, that's the first answer. The second answer is that, well, God didn't really suspend Paro's free will. God gave Paro a choice once, twice, three times, four times, five times. Paro didn't give in. When Paro wanted to give in on number six, God hardened his heart. And I think there are two separate ideas here. One is because he wasn't doing it for the right reason. And the second one is because God wanted his name to be made great in the world. And apparently 10 makos makes God's name greater than 5 makos. But again, even in this instance, you don't get punished unless you have Bechira Chavshis. And I think that that's the point to end with. That's the most important point. Bechira Chavshis is critical to our religion only so far as it affects Schar V'Onesh. Now, we can't imagine a world in which there isn't Bechira Chavshis and there isn't also Schar V'Onesh. But the Ramban says every once in a while there can be. And so long as God is not going to punish you and there won't be Schar V'Onesh, he can suspend your free will. So it's a little bit scary to think that that could happen to us. I don't think we're candidates for the kind of treatment that Paro got. But the good news is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ever take away our free will, according to the Ramban, he would not punish us, nor would he reward us for good things that we did when our free will was suspended. It's a lot to think about. This is going to come up again and again with respect to Kriyas Yam Suf, where the Ramban has an even greater idea about Bechira Chavshis, but I think that's enough for now. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.